cliffcentral.com.
Good afternoon to our listeners, and welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform, brought to you by the Leadership Platform in association with Student Brands. So you tuned in with your girl, Sasha Lee Gonzalez, and Bongani Tao, our lovely main host, will be joining us soon, hopefully. He's just stuck in a bit of traffic at the moment. So a heads up for everyone that is tuned in to the show. You're in for a show that really does fit in with what YLP truly is about, and we're really excited about the show today. And yeah, I really do feel that this really encapsulates what the Youth Leadership Platform came into existence for, to be honest with you. So yeah, we've got some good and exciting news in store for all of the young people today, so I hope a lot of young people are tuned in, and we love the old people as well, but we want to speak mainly to young people today. So as the YLP team, knowing how important it is, we cannot emphasize enough the importance of open dialogue between youths and important people, important leaders in society. It's important that this takes place on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, whenever it is possible, and that it's meaningful, and that it's not just talk, but that there's actually walk involved in it. So here we go. So drum roll. Please, Palisa, do we have a drum roll? No. Okay, it's fine. So today on the YLP show, we're officially going to be talking about our launch that we'll be having on the 5th of June from 11:30 to 2 p.m. at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. And that is going to be by the Leadership Platform in association, in partnership with Sibanye.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country.
Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Okay, so firstly, heading into the new week, I just want to take a moment. Let's take a moment to pause and reflect. I think this is so important. We need to pause and reflect about what's happening around us at the moment. I've seen a lot of people down in the last few weeks, especially students, you know, coming to exam time and with their studies or whatever it may be facing, whatever difficulties they may be facing. And I think it's sometimes just important that we take a moment to pause and reflect about our surrounding environments or the circumstances that we're currently in or that we currently find ourselves in. And you know what? Don't let that be a reason for you giving up on your goals or chasing what you want and achieving all the goals you've set for yourselves. I'm not trying to, you know, preach here, but I think this is important, an important message for the youth. So to all of you listening, regardless of the challenges that you're facing, I urge you to push forward as best as you can. And you know what, the tough days, they don't last long, but the regret of not staying committed to your cause and your passion and your purpose will last a lifetime. So don't give up. Please don't give up. Okay, so going into the new week, knowing that the small consistent actions are what will pave your way to success, please do that. And there's your Monday motivation for you. So the guests we have on YLP today are amazing young leaders. We have three of them in studio with us, and I'm really excited that they're all here to chat to us. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And we're going to be speaking, like I said, about the YLP launch that we are really excited about. So, of course, please do make sure that you're following the conversation on our social media pages. That is at YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram, and the Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook. So, chatting about the launch with the Leadership Platform and Sibanye at the Nelson Mandela Foundation on the 5th of June. And if you feel that you would benefit from attending this launch, please, please, please do email us on sasha@studentbrands.co.za to indicate your desire to attend. I'm telling you, it really is going to be an amazing launch, and I do feel that young people will benefit from it very much so. So we do have limited seats available, around 30 seats or so, so please do get your emails into us soon, soon, soon. So okay, firstly, it's getting to our guests. We'd like to take a moment to have our guests introduce themselves. I don't want to talk too much. I'm talking too much. So please, starting with lovely Intaba Singh on my right, can you go ahead and just introduce yourselves? Tell us, give us a bit of background about who you are and what you do.
All right. Good afternoon to all the listeners and everybody here. I'm Intaba Singh Mokgothu. I'm 24 years old. I come from a very small town in the Free State called Bothaville, but I currently reside in Johannesburg. I'm a diagnostic radiographer.
What is that? that?
It's basically the study of x-rays, we do scans, and it's all about like radiation and so forth.
Wow.
We'll go maybe a bit deeper into that and what issues we have there. And through the years, I've started an organization called Tswelopele ka Thuto. It's an NPO. We do career guidance. We do motivational, inspirational speaking. And we also do charity initiatives just to give back to all the learners that we encounter in the underprivileged schools. Some of them don't have school shoes. Some of them don't have stationery. So we collect those things and then we just distribute back to the school. And basically, that's all I do.
Wow, amazing. And yourself? Thank you.
Good afternoon to all the listeners and everybody who's here in the studio. My name is Letabo Komani. I'm from a township called Tembisa. It's somewhere next to Midrand or just after Olifant. Basically what I do, I'm studying teaching. It's actually my second year. And I just started my own thing, my own small business. The name of the business is called Drop Shoe. It's a shoe cleaning company. We're starting small. It's just started in January. And the results were so unexpected.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here. I mean, not most people get this opportunity. I mean, I just started my own thing and now I'm getting an interview. So, like I said, I'm studying teaching. It's actually my second year. And I have that entrepreneurial spirit. And I never thought that I'll be an entrepreneur someday. And never thought that I'll start something for my own.
But look at you, so you've done it.
Look at me now.
Look at me now. You know? Wow.
So yeah, that's me. That's me. I'll tell you more.
Great. Fantastic. And our last lady on the left of me.
Good afternoon to all the listeners and everyone in studio. My name is Nanti and I'm currently volunteering at a call center that mentors young people. Mm-hmm. And I've not been to school yet because I have different commitments. I have committed to go and serve a mission. And to those who don't know what serving a mission is, it's basically Christians going out to the world and spreading the word of God or message of Christ. And yeah, and I'm from a township called Tembisa.
Great. Fantastic. Okay. Bongani. Bongani just arrived. Do you want to say hello to everyone, Bongani?
Well, hello, everybody. Bongani is in the studio now.
Are you excited for today's discussion?
Been holding it down. Yeah, I am. I mean, we're discussing the launch. We're discussing moving the youth and the future of South Africa forward. So I'm very amped.
All good. Okay, great. So we're going into this discussion. Obviously, we want to tackle what issues the youths have. And I mean, we have proper, like, three really diverse, but like I think somehow like interconnected, like linked up students with all of, although you guys are doing different things completely, you all pretty much have the same aim in the back of your heads, at least to move the youth forward, like Bongani said, in some or other way with whatever it is you're doing. So because this is something that the leadership platform and Sibanye want to do, I think it's important we're discussing it. You know, they want to create a platform that really and truly is for the youth and all of that in its entirety, you know, a platform where they can share their views uninhibitedly as well as share their solutions to challenges. So not a platform where, you know, you have the older generation or, you know, certain leaders speaking and then the youths have, you know, their little bit here and there. This is a platform for the youths purely. So where they'll be able to share their challenges and solutions to challenges that they've thought of themselves. So that is the difference that this platform will have, to really allow the youth to do that, and also in the presence of their peers and as well as the current important leaders in society. So we're gonna go into it, and getting straight into it, what issues do you think the youths face, just right off the top of your head? What issues do you think South African youths face nowadays? And Tabi Singh?
I think the youth of South Africa are facing quite a number of issues, but the one that comes at the top of my head is one that we've been all dealing with as a country and as a nation. I think the fees must fall. Mm. The fact that so many young learners have potential and they really want to further their studies and their education. However, the issue with fees not being, like, they don't have access to fees, makes it a bit difficult, you know what I mean? But also, as a young person, you need to be proactive. You know, here's a young person that just started his own little business, you know? Here am I, just started my own little non-profit organization. So we don't necessarily can't say we're helpless, you know. However, other young people feel like they're helpless because, oh, I can't go to school and now we must all feel sorry for you. You know, there's other ways in which you can just try and do something. Just literally just do something. So I think one of the issues is education and fees. Yeah. Mm.
So what I think is our youth is usually faced with limitations. Mm. Our youth tend to limit themselves. And I hate to say this and I love to say this because to some it hurts, but to some it gives them motivation. So as young as I am, I don't tend to limit myself. As much as I don't have anything, but I don't limit myself. This is not the end of the world.
So, I don't want to interrupt you there, but a lot of people, when it comes to the youth and developing themselves and chasing their goals, they're quick to say that there's limited resources available, which is so true. It's not a lie. We're not denying that. But here you are saying that the youth are limiting themselves.
They are limiting themselves.
No, I'm just saying, because usually there is a blame game.
Yeah.
So there are limited resources available, which is true. But I think it's so good to mention what you've mentioned, that the youth themselves, you get a lot of youths that have all the resources at their fingertips.
Yeah.
Internet access, travel, transport, whatever it is they need, unlimited financial resources available, and yet they limit themselves. Carry on. Sorry for interrupting you.
I think you said it all. Let me just continue. I remember can I please share a story?
Go for it.
Just 2 second story. I remember I was in high school. I think it was my grade 8.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it was grade 8. I started selling sweets in high school, imagine. So at home, they had this problem, the financial problem. They didn't want to give me money, and both my parents were not working.
Mm.
So I just thought of a plan. Why not sell sweets and then make profit out of it? Suddenly, the entrepreneurial spirit grew from there.
Yeah.
Ever since then, most people have been looking up to me, and I had this teaching ability, and I used to teach. I was doing a grade 11, imagine, but I used to teach grade 12s.
Oh, wow.
Imagine. It was a great privilege for me. Because it's not everybody who could get that opportunity.
Mm.
Imagine you're doing grade 11 and you're teaching grade 12. And then at school, they'd usually make a budget for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I would go and teach grade 11s and then I'd go and teach grade 12s. And then they pay me maybe on weekly basis and then on monthly basis. So what I would say to all the youth, don't limit yourself.
So proactivity.
Proactivity.
Yes, is very
key. Exactly. Don't limit yourself.
So I'd like to go back on one point there with, in terms of fees must fall, it's a very broad subject in itself. In your idea and your opinion, laying that one out, what do you think needs to be done in order to remedy access to tertiary education in South Africa?
I definitely think one way in which we can do that is to have a plan in order, especially with finances and a budget in South Africa.
Okay.
You know, right now we're exposed and we see that there's so much money laundering, you know, in our government and in all over. And when you look at the amounts that are being spent and being wasted, you're thinking to yourself, but why is education not prioritized? You know what I mean? I don't think Nelson Mandela and people like Steve Biko, this is not the kind of South Africa that they were fighting, rather, for a South Africa where education is at the core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went to prison because of such issues, you know. But then now you see that education is not prioritized. So I think firstly, what can be done is put a budget in place to really help people that are underprivileged. Number one, we start there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because another issue is that, what's the point of me helping you pay school fees when you can afford it? You know, so I think we must start first with those that are really underprivileged, and people can disagree with me on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, start with those that are really underprivileged. Number two, start with those that are really excelling. And then from there, you know, you work towards everything. You see how, if this is working and if it's not working. And eventually, I feel like as a country, we can get to a place where tertiary education is for free.
Hmm.
You know, but then it also brings up the issue of, if tertiary education is for free, what's the quality going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then, but still, we need to go through that process and see. how it'll
you
be.
You know, there's a lot of arguments, like you said, that go for and against a lot of stances that people come about, or come with, rather. Because I'm thinking with the saturation that would be there, how many HR people would be there, how many accountants would be there.
Yeah.
As it stands, we are looking at about 40-50% youth unemployment rate. And that's going to skyrocket as soon as everything is for free. We think about the universities themselves. They want to develop, they want to improve their research centers, and they want to fund certain programs that will move the systems and the programs that the university facilitates and offers to students. But without the right amount or cash injection, they won't be able to do that. But I understand where you're coming from. What are some of the issues that you've seen that you'd like us to discuss in the platform moving forward?
Okay, well, I think I'd like us to address the issue of young women planning, or rather going taking a different route into I think now in this world, or in these days, they call it the blessers and blessees. So I think that is somehow connected to education as well. And of course, they try and get the money or make the money through taking that route. So that is what I'd like us to address.
What are some of the things that we can speak about, though, concerning blessers and blessees as well? It's another broad, very interesting subject, and a sensitive one in certain respects.
Well, as we look, when you watch news for the past, I think, 2 weeks, we have been seeing that there's been killings and, you know, stuff like that about of young women. And I think most of them, or some of them, were in such relationships. And, you know, in relationships where there is overpowering of one, or one person is overpowering the other. And I think for me, it is, I don't know, I don't actually have the word for it exactly, but I don't think that it is well enough for you to take that route, whereas you know that there are certain consequences like those that might occur.
What are some of the things, or one thing that you feel, of many things that can be done to try and remedy that and try and address that? Obviously, this is going to be an open discussion that we're going to have over time about possible things that should be done and narratives that should be spoken of and about. But what are some of the things that you think can be done to remedy that? Maybe should we teach feminism to the young women differently? Show them that women can stand on their own and be independent and drive their own cars and sit in their own boardrooms and things like that?
I think definitely that one, where we should actually teach feminism, and also encouraging, of course, young women to show them that being feminine doesn't really mean that you are more or less weak or inferior. Women, we have a lot of women who have been leaders in the world. We have women who are leaders in the world. And of course, to become a leader or to become something better, you have to work through a lot of things. You have to, obviously, you go through challenges and stuff, and challenges are not actually a limitation to anything. That's what I believe.
And I mean, you know what, something that's going to be mentioned at this launch as well on the 5th of June at the Nelson Mandela Foundation is the fact that this platform will aim to not only address issues that the youth are facing, but, you know, because I think that word is used too loosely, you know, you want to address this, you want to talk about this, you want to talk about that. But like I said earlier on, there needs to be a walk along with the talk. So that's going to be something that this platform aims to do, is, you know, not only address things, but actually tackle them and deal with them, and perhaps even speak with people to the point where these issues can be rectified and, you know, we can have solid, proper solutions. So, from your guys' perspective, do you think that enough is being done in terms of not only the leaders of this country, but the youths themselves? Do you think enough is being done in terms of finding problems to solutions? Okay, that's the first part. Do you think enough is being done for that? Or do you think that the youths have ideas or have solutions to their problems, but they're not being heard? Which one of the two is it?
I think a lot of people do have ideas and plans on how to solve problems as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think that most important thing is that their voices are not being heard.
Mm.
You know, like I remember I was in high school, and one thing that I realized in high school is that I'm a teacher, so
yeah.
I'll go back to high school. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I realized in high school is that the education system, to me, it's not the way that it was supposed to be.
Like, what was it supposed to be like?
Imagine in high schools, if there were centers of entrepreneurs.
Okay.
You know, whereby they can teach people, young people, especially from a young age, on how to make money and how to make a fortune, you know, on how to grow themselves, you know, because this world depends mostly on thingy, on business.
Mm-hmm.
On, you understand? So I think that was the one reason that my voice wasn't heard. And I think that it will be possible at the end of the day, so I'll make something happen.
I just feel like the youth have a lot to say. And with issues that always arise, there's so much to say, but I always see that there's never a solution.
Mm.
You know, there's a march protesting against women, but what are the leaders actually doing? You know what I mean? There was a controversial situation happening. I saw it on Twitter, and then people were asking, where's the woman at the presidency? What is she saying? What is she doing? What is she literally doing? You know, we can go march, you know, and we can do all these things, but like, what are we literally doing to change the situation? You know, and I think, as you said, like, young people probably have those ideas, but they're not being heard. Well, I haven't heard them.
No, I think the most that is done is Facebook creates this profile picture that you can use to show your support with an issue. And yeah. I'm like, what is changing your profile picture going to do, with all due respect?
I looked at that and I'm like, I'm not going to change my profile picture to say protect women.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that are killing the women and the solutions that need to be initiated will not come through me changing my profile picture.
As you're changing that profile picture, a woman is being raped.
Exactly.
A woman is being murdered.
Exactly.
Guys, coming to the studio, listening to the radio, every 26 seconds in South Africa, a woman is raped.
So scary.
How did we get here? How did we become so degenerate as a society that we've lost so much of the values and the morals that should govern us as people to be more sensible and more considerate of other people? That we were doing such things as the ones that are happening.
Nante, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts, well, when I was in high school, which was obviously last year, I was doing my last year in high school, and I think to me, I felt like a lot was being done. We had a lot of career exhibitions, and there was a lot from the world that that they were actually showing us what we can do. When we after high school, you know, trying to get us comfortable with the outside world. And for me, I feel like enough was done, but I feel like we also didn't try and take in all of the information that we're given. And also with voicing ourselves, I think, yes, we are voicing ourselves. Yes, and we're not heard, but what do you do when you're not heard? Do you just step back or do you shout, you know? Do you say, hey, you're not hearing me, please listen to me?
Mm-hmm.
So I think also a little bit it's on our side as well. It's not always the world or everybody else or whatnot.
Very true, very true. You know, the solutions to the problems that we are facing lie in our hands. There's so much of the blame game that Sasha Lee was talking about. We're always looking at what is Jacob Zuma going to do? What is Zwelinze Mavavi going to do about the education situation? But there's so little of us saying, you know what? I'll approach these number of banks. I'll approach these financial institutions and I'll start a platform. And those underprivileged kids, why not sign them to that platform, and then get those people to come and sponsor some of these people. At the end of the day, you as a person, you're an entrepreneur, you're going to make something out of that. Now, it takes away one person from the unemployment rate that we have in South Africa. Mm. But then it's addressing a certain problem that we have in South Africa. Yeah. Starting an NGO, you must have seen something as well that you want to address that is a problem amongst the youth. Tell us about that.
Yo, there's a number of problems, such as, stationery.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this year at the beginning, there was an issue that certain learners started school without stationery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what happened? You know, and then they were saying no because they changed suppliers and stationery was not able to be delivered on time.
Mm-hmm.
Things like clothes. You know, some learners don't even have adequate shoes.
Hmm.
We take it for granted because you're in Johannesburg, you're used to the townships, your Soweto, your Alex. Ugh, those schools are, they're covered.
Mm-hmm.
But in your small free state, small towns, young learners are going through the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like for real, for real.
True.
You know, and those are some of the issues that I feel like, well, what's happening? You know, and then who's to blame? It's not necessarily about to blame, but who's responsible for that? You know what I mean? Because the parents don't have much as well, but then they're trying to get their children to go to school and just do something better for themselves. And then it's also another conversation whereby, how are you just sending your child to school? But you understand, like, there's so many facets to it that, mm-hmm. that it's constantly a conversation. And I think from conversation, somehow solutions arise from that. So, yeah.
And how do you step in and address, you know, facilitate mm. some form of solutions coming out of the problems that we have? For instance, yeah. like you mentioned, stationery amongst school children with your organization.
Mm. So with my organization, we started multiple charity initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
It first started with the clothes collection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made a poster and I said, everybody, just, I need your winter clothes, I need shoes, I need blankets. And everybody really, really supported me. And I collected all of those and then I went to distribute it back to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Which was one of them. And in stationery as well, I've done two successful stationery drives. And I literally put a poster out there on social media as well. And I said, I'm collecting stationery, your pen, pencil, rulers, and all of those things. But I like to distribute it to the learners at the end of the year, you know, especially to grade 11 or grade 12s when they write their final year end exams.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with the learners, yes, you get your stationery at the beginning of the year. But throughout the year, it gets stolen, it gets lost, you're walking to school, starts raining, your things are messed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we give it to you at the end of the year, whereby you don't even have to stress about the fact that I need a pen. We take it for granted, but it's someone's struggle.
True.
You know, and then they all they have to do is focus on acing the academics.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things we do. In June, we're planning on doing like what's this, parcels. We want to collect parcels and just give sort of like food for the learners for Nelson Mandela Day or something like that.
Wow.
But yeah.
Okay, so we're having a really interesting discussion with the young leaders in studio, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll see you shortly.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to, that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
We're back in studio and you're with the Youth Leadership Platform and we're talking all things youth leadership related and issues that the youths are facing. And, you know, this is going to be addressed again, like I said, in our launch at the Nelson Mandela Foundation on the 5th of June from 11:30 to 2 p.m. If you want to attend this launch, you may email Sasha at studentbrands.co.za and RSVP. There are limited seats available, so please do that. Before we went to the break, and Tabby Singh was talking to us about something that I think is very important and that isn't really focused on. I know that youths have issues and that there are main themes to, you know, Feast Must grateful, or the whole blessed issue and whatnot. But I think the intricacies of these are not actually focused on. So in Tabi Singh with her NPO, I think that I've noticed it about your NPO, that you're trying to address the little things that have an impact. Not having a pen. Like you mentioned before the break, it seems to be the most trivial thing, but that can even boil down to the confidence of a child. Not so. I don't have a pen. I don't want to go to school and be embarrassed and made fun of by my peers, by my classmates. So I won't go to school. I'll bank school. That leads to poor academic performance, and that leads to perhaps doing things and activities, extramural activities that are not so good, you know, they're bad, criminal activities, and that leads to drugs, and it just spirals out of control. So how do you guys think, how important do you guys think it is to not only focus on the bigger picture, but focus on the pixels, focus on what makes up the picture? Nancy?
Okay. Well, I think it's a very... very important thing to focus on the little things, because I think from little things can become very big things. I believe that because I've realized it, and I noticed it when I was in high school as well. We had a lot of help from other people, from NGOs and NPOs and whatnot, and I've realized the impact that they brought to students who did not have as much as others did, or who didn't have shoes. You know, the confidence that it brings to you to have new pair of shoes, you know, to know that, hey, I look like other kids now.
There we go.
Yeah, I think that was very profound.
It is very profound, because in the business that I'm in, it's called Dropshoe. The name of the company is called Dropshoe. We started our own program whereby clients can donate shoes, can donate clothes for charity. So that's all we do, just drop shoe for care. So basically you can just drop off your shoes, and you can just, it makes sense to some kids, because imagine a young kid wearing a new pair of sneakers, you know, a new pair of Toughies, a new pair of, you know, brand new jacket. It really boosts their confidence.
The confidence it's going to give them. And they're going to walk into school feeling like, I can take on the day. It's so true. So I don't feel enough is paid, and not enough attention is paid to the littler things. And your thoughts, and Tabi Singh?
Absolutely. Like, it's so important to focus on the small things, because they make up the big things, as we've said. And something needs to be done. You know what I mean? I decided that, you know what, I'm not going to wait for someone, because I got inspired by a quote that says, be who you needed when you were younger, you know? And I think that quote drives me every single day when I do these initiatives. And I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult, because you always constantly have to be knocking on doors. I need help. I need you to donate. I need you to help me.
And how do you get through to people? How do you?
It's difficult. A lot of emails, proposals, a lot of social media
hunting,
and I'm just fortunate to get people that really help me. And sometimes, just with the little I get, I had to give out stationery, about 200 packs, to learners in Alex. And unfortunately, we were able to just get 128, I think. And I just told the principal, I'm so sorry, but I tried.
Yeah.
I really, really tried. And then, but it's the little that counts, you know, unlike not having contributed that to that school. You know what I mean? And NPOs need to be really focused on, because I've seen so many NPOs that do amazing things, and we don't get paid for this. We don't get paid.
Non-profit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a non-profit. You are literally just giving back, but also you are leaving a legacy, and you are impacting society in a positive manner. And that's also bringing in the part of leadership. You know, in leadership, you're not always going to have people that follow you. You're not always going to have people that support you, but you have to stick through to your purpose, your mandate, and whatever it is that you want to achieve.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to another part. And I was actually just about to touch on that leadership. I want the thoughts of, because I know that you are all leaders in your own right and making an impact in some way or another. I mean, Nanti, the work that you're doing, and Tabi Singh, all of you guys are really doing amazing work. So what are your thoughts on? Okay, I want to delve into this a bit deeper than what usually is done. But do you think that in terms of the South African context and with our leaders, do you think that there is appropriate, or do you think that it's good quality leadership being put out by our societal leaders? well, they call themselves leaders at least.
I think the most important thing is to not generalize. You know, it's very important not to generalize. There are leaders in this country that are doing amazing things. People like your advocate, Thuli Madonsela. I know she's very hands-on about leadership and, you know, she's a powerful and a dynamic woman. You know, and there are other leaders that are not so great, you know. So we can't put them all in one basket.
True enough.
You know what I mean? But we must try and focus on the leaders that are doing amazing things and really gravitate to them and see how they're doing it, and that will pull strength from us. But all in all, leadership in South Africa, I think it can be better. It can definitely, definitely be better. But also then you go ahead and you compare it to overseas.
Oh, yes.
People like Donald Trump, for instance, how do people view him as a leader? You know, and that's opening up another channel of leadership. But also, it mustn't also take away from other leaders in America that are doing good.
That's true enough. I guess what you're saying is right. You know, it's the whole thing of, oh, make a goal every time and, you know, people don't care, but miss one goal and people will always remember that. So I guess with leadership, it's true. You come across one out of 100 leaders that are really doing a terrible job, and that's what we call leadership. And it's not, I guess it's not good to do that. But I mean, your thoughts, Nanti, on leadership in South Africa?
Well, I feel like with leadership in South Africa, it hadn't been that stressed for many decades. When you look at the past, our past as South Africa, we have been groomed to believing or to said to do this, which is go to school, get a proper education, varsity education, and that is, yes, of course, it's right. But then what about those who do not have, who don't get that good grades in high school or in primary, but they're actually good in other stuff like entrepreneurship or practical stuff, you know? And I believe that in our country, it has to be stressed, leadership. As Ntabi Singh said, if you look at America, there are really young people, younger than me, of course, who actually have done probably started, obviously, companies, and they have done very well. So I believe that leadership should be stressed, of course, and it hadn't been that much stressed, but then, of course, it is a little bit growing, and I think we can reach a bigger potential.
Great. And Letabo, your thoughts on this?
I can't say much on leadership, because I think...
But you're a leader, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, right, man.
Take the credit for it.
Yes, I am a leader, but I think every leader has their own leadership styles, you know? So you can't say he's a bad leader, he's a good leader. As long as this person inspires, motivates you, then he's a leader to you.
What is your leadership style?
My leadership style? Yes. It's laissez-faire. Free reign. I allow people to make their own decision. Mm-hmm. Like, I have two people that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. We basically clean sneakers each and every day. So I don't say I'm the founder of this business, or I'm the boss, or I'm the leader. We all leaders. Mm-hmm. So basically, I actually allow them to make decisions. You know, they can teach me, I can teach them as well. So that's my leadership style.
So ideally, What are some of the things that, say, for instance, we're talking about, you spoke about the other smarts, as someone would refer to them, that a person is not in the academics, they're not so much into that, or they're not performing as what the average would require them to perform, but they're good in tennis, they could be the next... easily the next Djokovic. They're good in other things which we call other smarts. So what are some of the things that you feel that we can be able to do to accommodate other smarts?
I think emphasizing or leading them to the right direction, not confusing them by telling them that, of course, you are good in this, but you should do this. But instead, try and encourage them and lead them into circumstances that would allow them to actually reach the potential of what they're good at.
Yes, actually,
as an entrepreneur, some people could make very good businessmen.
True.
But they're just not performing well in mathematics in high school.
Exactly.
And that only tests a portion of their intelligence.
True.
Because, you know, I was reading as well with Daniel Goleman, a PhD author, and he wrote a book on emotional intelligence, and he spoke in depth about how emotional intelligence outweighs IQ.
True.
And how some IQ tests are not very what's the word for it, accurate in terms of testing the person's intellectual prowess, because obviously they only tap into the maths and the physics, and it's preset standardized questions, you know, that they give to everyone, and everyone performs differently because everyone is different. So for entrepreneurs as well, what are some of the things that we can do to accommodate people like those?
I think the most important thing is that we can allow them to be themselves. Allow them to make their own decisions. That's the most thing that I believe in, because I believe that nobody was born a hero, you know.
Okay.
It all begins with yourself. If you put your mind to it and you tell yourself that you want to be this person, obviously nothing is impossible. Anything is possible.
So where do we allow them to be themselves? In their businesses in South Africa? Let's narrow that down into allowing them to be themselves. Because we can allow them to be themselves anywhere.
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 That's
but where exactly do we allow them to be themselves?
I think personally, we can allow them to be themselves in businesses.
In businesses?
In businesses.
Okay.
That's what I think. Because in business, you learn a lot of things. You meet new people each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to clients each and every time, so you get to understand different situation and how to handle different situation. So that's what I think.
And we're gonna get into difficult situations and handling them. Thanks for mentioning that.
I definitely think, and it's something that is actually at the core of my organization. But because we struggle with facilities, is doing psychometric tests.
Okay.
You know, and in terms of psychometric tests, it's also a pretest. You can answer it according to however you feel is correct, right? But the other issue is that as a young person, like a grade 9-year-old, they feel like grade 9-year-old.
Grade 9-year-old, we love that in Tommy's thing. Just bring that lovely English with us.
Wow, okay. We learn new
Excuse
things
me
every
about
day.
That. No, as a grade. As you are in grade 9,
okay.
You feel like you want to be a journalist. You feel like you want to be a businesswoman. You just want to do every single thing. And I think it's very important the education system starts to give young people those platforms. Go for a day at that broadcasting studio. Go for a day at that accounting firm. Go for that day at that office to basically see and explore what it is that they do on a daily basis. And that brings you back to allow them to be who they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then this gives them a broader view of what it is that you want to do, because we all have our own misconception of what it's really like and so forth. And that also brings in the issue of people doing the wrong courses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get people go for a first year, they're doing law, and then they decide, oh no, this is actually not for me. But had there been methods placed in order, like in high school, for them to really just explore which career path would suit them best,
mm-hmm.
it would avoid that.
True.
Because you come from a underprivileged home, your family sacrificed for you to get to university, and now you've wasted an entire year, and fees are like interlinked in that. So I think it's about being yourself and being able to make that mistake, but if you can avoid the mistake, it's better.
But isn't that interesting though? Because I find that ties in with what Nanti pointed out earlier, is that the schooling system nowadays doesn't allow one to be oneself.
Mm.
Yet the students are pushed out into your tertiary educational years, expected to be yourself. And then when you don't know who you are a disgrace. You drop out, like Ntabi Singh said, you drop out of your first year of law. What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? You should know what you want to be. Now you've wasted fees. You've wasted everything. But when I was in secondary school, I being everyone else, not really myself, but mm-hmm. when a person is in secondary school, what's punted is, you know, you become a lawyer, become an accountant, become this, become a that, and it's all academic related. And there's so much stigma put on wanting to do something that is arty or sports related. Yeah. Is it not? So it's a strange, just, you know, based on what you said in Tabi Singh, it's a strange thought that in schools, it's this idea of that's what's spoken about, be who you are, but it's not really, it's not walked. Like I've said throughout this conversation, the talk and the walk need to go hand in hand. And, you know, when comes the time to be who you are and make decisions based on who you are, you can't, and there's no support there. So I think it's very important to,
you know, take me for instance, Sashali. I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be sitting behind a mic.
There we go.
In radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All my life, I told myself, accountant, 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 accountant.
You drove yourself crazy.
Yes, yes. Primary.
Chill, Bongani. Don't worry. The mic isn't going anywhere.
Okay. So like in primary school already, I even knew which company I wanted to work for in the top four accountant firms.
Mm-hmm.
But straight after high school, things changed for me, you know. There's a side of me that I started exploring that took me away from that, because there's things about me that do not coincide with me sitting in an office and doing auditing and things like that. So, but yeah, that's the story for another day.
Okay, so obviously we'd like to, you know, extend this conversation, but we're running a bit short of time. But before we leave this conversation, we want to bring on the line Mr. Adrian Groenewald, who is, I mean, extraordinary CEO, leadership activist, and author. He's just doing so many things. So we want to bring him on the line to share his views with us on what we're speaking about in leadership and the launch with Sibanye. We're so excited. Adrian, are you there?
I am, yes.
Hello, Adrian. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's great.
Yes. You cut out in the beginning there. I don't know. Did you ask the question or are you about to?
No, we just want to know your thoughts on leadership and what exactly what we're speaking about and what is done in terms of leadership in this country, what isn't done and what needs to be done. And just to talk to us about the launch, we're excited about it and we just want to know your views on it going forward.
It is exciting, isn't it? On Monday at 12:30, more particularly 12:01, or rather 11:30, and then 12:01, we record live at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. We'll have a panel of leaders, but we'll have the CEO of Nelson Mandela Foundation address us, and I think Bongani is going to say a few words, and then we have a panel.
Yep.
With some youth there who will engage the panel, ask questions, debate with us, and that'll just be launching the youth leadership platform more broader than we've done it so far. So we've been running it on the central there and certainly attending some activities, and you and Bongani have been doing great work. But it's time to go broader and deeper and further, and to do that you need partners. Sibanye is now one of those partners. And of course then use the platform yourself, and that's certainly exciting. I think there are lots of platforms for you to stand on and speak. Some of them are more formal, mostly informal, like social media. But we want to create a very specific momentum. And there are purposes behind it. And linking in with your question, Sasha, what is being done about leadership? Whatever is being done, it seems like there's not enough done at the very top. There's not enough done on a youth level. Everything in between, we could argue there's something happening, perhaps. I don't know. But certainly at a youth level and school level, particularly, not enough. So we hope that this specific project will do that. What's our purpose is to create an active, dynamic platform for youth to share their views, specifically about solutions, proposed solutions for challenges in South Africa, to share it with the current leaders, to share it with their peers. But we also want the platform to be there for current leaders to share their views so the two parties can listen to one another. And is a platform for the youth, to the youth in South Africa. And if we can go broader, we would. We need our youth to connect with society more and society to connect with the youth. This is our future. My personal favorite of where we're heading with this is we need to awaken the leader inside youth in a very controlled manner, but very assertive manner. So we want them to become not only leaders and not only authentic leaders, but to take it a step further, and we want them to become authentic leadership activists. My view is our society is a little bit behind as far as the developing leaders are concerned, and we now need activists like we used to have political activists who somehow turned the tide on the past. We now need authentic leadership activists. And yes, we need the politicians to do that, of course, but more particularly our youth seems to have an appetite for it. We saw the trees must fall in many other ways. They have the energy, the appetite, they want to do something, they want their voice heard, and we're going to help with that. So I'm very excited about that.
How important do you think it is? I mean, what this launch is going to do, it's going to, you know, bridge the gap between young people and societal leaders, as you've mentioned. It's going to bridge the gap between the two, where the two are not actually on the same level. They're not actually hearing one another. And there's always some gap between it. How important do you think it is to involve the two? And pretty much proverbially, well, not actually proverbially, but it's actually practically, we're going to have young people and these societal leaders in the same room talking to each other amongst one another instead of there being a barrier, like, you know, via email or on social media. How important do you think it is that this launch is going to be doing that?
I think it's very important for many reasons, not just the obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
In our society currently, it seems like no one is listening to each other. We seem to be in a total disconnect with President Zuma and all these colleagues. It seems like we're missing something that's happening there, and it seems like they're missing us. Something is missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone is not understanding what the heck is going on here. Is a huge disconnect. And maybe we can take the example through this project where we create a proper communication channel. We have productive discourse. People like the Nelson Mandela Foundation have been doing this. This is what they stand for, is productive discourse between parties, important parties in society. And that's the spirit of Nelson Mandela. So we want to extend that. And that's why Sibanye felt strongly we should launch it at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. Is just to go with that momentum that worked very well for us in the past and that will always work in society unless leaders have their ego come in their way or selfish motives. So we're hoping that this will symbolically show that we can actually have the youth and society connect, or current leaders and youth, if we can put it that way. And then hopefully that is spread to where we need it most. We certainly need it in many sectors of our society.
Thank you very much, Adrian. We're looking forward to hearing from you and the speakers as well that will be part of the launch. And we're very excited that Sibanye came on board and loved the idea and are going to be with us as we carry on carrying the voice of what would seem as the voice of South Africa, because the youth of South Africa are the future leaders of South Africa. Thank you very much for joining us, Adrian.
Great pleasure, and thank you for everything you guys do. There's a lot of selfless work you do, and continue the good work behind the mic and now in community.
Thank you so much, Adrian.
Bye.
So now, bringing it back to the studio, for your final words, you know, I'll take you back to the 1950s when a certain young man was born. But prior to that, there were slaves that were taken from Africa, like it's always told in history, taken to Brazil this time. And when they got there, they learned certain moves called, or now more commonly known as, the Jenga. Now, the moves from the get-go were self-defense moves that were taught to the Africans as slaves in Brazil. And the people in Brazil took the moves and they made them into a soccer style called the Jenga. Now, one person that took that was the famous Pelé in today's terms. And he revolutionized the whole outlook of soccer. Won the World Cup for Brazil at that point. And Brazil now is a force to be reckoned with because of one person that took something and made something even better and changed the course of the country's performance in football. So with you guys here in studio, what do you guys pledge going forward as the youth of South Africa and the future Pelés in your respective fields and industries? We'll start with Noti.
Okay, well, I think when we should just, as a youth, we should put ourselves out there. It doesn't really matter what to do. Like me, right now, I'm doing voluntary work. So you should take whichever opportunity that you get and just, you know, start obviously little, and then you'll get to where you need to go. and you'll get to where you need to be if you just put on a lot of effort and you just focus on your goal. And yeah,
I personally pledge to make footwear hygiene very key.
Okay.
Because that's what I do. I clean sneakers all the time. But besides that, let us follow our heart. Let us use our passion. And let us do the best, man. I mean, we're still young. We still got the energy, you know. So we can change this world.
True.
I mean, this world depends on us as the youth. So let us not disappoint the people who are looking on us. You know, let us make them proud. I'm not putting any pressure. But I'm just saying, let us follow our passion and make this world a better place.
Well, for me, I really pledge to start.
Okay.
You know, and in everything I do, the most important thing is to start. Starting with trembling hands, starting with not knowing how the end results will be. And I pledge to start and to sort of grow and lead in whatever field or opportunity I'm given, actually. So, yeah, basically that's that. You just need to start. If you think it, you can do it. You know, and even I saw a video circulating on social media. I think it was Mark Zuckerberg saying, it's so important to start. I think he had one idea and then it blew up. And now there's Facebook, Instagram and everything. Mm-hmm. So even with me, at the core of my organization, it was literally about talking to young people. And now the charity initiatives have come through out of that, and it's so highlighted. So basically, we as young people need to pledge to start.
Start.
Yeah.
YLP Cliff Central on that's Instagram and Twitter, Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook. Follow the conversation. Join us at the Nelson Mandela Foundation on the 5th of June. It's going to be a lituation, but a good lituation that drives change. From us at the Youth Leadership Platform team, we will see you next week, same time, which is 2 p.m. on cliffcentral.com.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za. Cliffcentral.com.